نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth, in order that He may make your deeds righteous and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest success. Amma ba'd. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. In continuation with our lessons, purification of the souls, we are with the etiquette of du'a, as we have been for the past 2 weeks. Today, we're going to continue that, insha'Allah ta'ala. But before that, we just want to jump the gun and go to the section which we will take after the etiquette of du'a and the don'ts of du'a and the bid'ah of du'a. We will take the times when the du'a is answered most. And among those times is the time that we are in right now today, because it's raining. And we have authentic hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam that he said, اُطْلُبُ الْاِسْتِجَابَةَ الدُّعَاءِ عِنْدَ الْتِقَاءِ الْجَيْشِ وَإِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُزُولِ الْغَيْثِ. And this hadith, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah narrates it or collects it, and al-Bayhaqi and his Sunan, and Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani said that this hadith was sahih, and his Jami al-Saghir was ziyadatuhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to seek the dua that is answered at the time when the two armies meet, at the time for the establishment of the salah, and at the time when rainfall, at the time of rainfall, or at the time when rain is coming down. So this is the time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to seek the dua that is answered, and with that we say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. And this is among the most comprehensive du'as that anyone can make. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good in this world. Anything that we can think of that is good in this world, then we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And anything that could be good in the hereafter, then we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and to save us from the hellfire. So this is among the most comprehensive du'as that anyone can make, and for this reason, we try to make this du'a at the time of rain, the time when the du'a is answered, perchance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may answer our du'a and give us all of the good in this life, and all of the good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. And who is more successful than the one that Allah gives the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and saves them from the hellfire? With that, we just want to go back to remind ourselves and you all of the etiquettes that have passed us, and then we'll continue with the new etiquettes of dua that we have for this week. We said that the first etiquette was that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that we don't make dua to anyone other than our Lord, Allah Al-Ahad. The second etiquette we had was being certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our dua. That every time we make dua, we have certainty in our hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our dua, because He is the only one who can answer our dua. The third one is that we're sincere in our dua. That we're sincerely asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever we're asking Him for. And the fourth one we had was determination, or seriousness. Really taking the issue of dua seriously, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good in this world, for the good in the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. The fifth thing we had was that we make dua at all times. That every chance we get, that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perchance Allah may answer our dua and to give us the good in this world and the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. The sixth thing we had was that we shouldn't be loud in making our dua, but we should be somewhat silent. Not absolutely silent, but somewhat silent. And the seventh etiquette that we had was dua with Allah's most beautiful names. Dua with Allah's most beautiful names. The eighth, we have the recognition of our sins, or the acknowledgement of our sins, that we put forth our sins before the dua that we make, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in this etiquette, as he did in the rest of them, that we acknowledge our sins and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us from His bounties. The ninth thing that we had was humility and a strong desire and a fear. The tenth thing we had was dua to righteous deeds. That any good deed that we have done, that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our dua or to give us such and such because of the good deed that we've done. The next thing we had, 11, was making each dua three times. That each dua that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we make three times. And now we'll be coming, then the next thing after that, number 12, we had beginning our dua with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salat wa salam on His Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As we see, these etiquettes of dua are becoming numerous. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ad-deena yusrun," that this religion is easy. And of these etiquettes, whatever you remember, you can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whatever one that you remember, or as many as you remember. And that Islam isn't a burden on anyone. That we have to, before we make our dua, get out a sheet of paper, and remember all of the etiquettes that we have to make sure we do all 20 or so etiquettes before we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do some of these sometimes, and some of the other ones at other times, and some of the other ones at even other times, and so on. So this religion is an easy religion, and we shouldn't burden ourselves so as to think that we have to take all of the etiquettes and to put all of them into practice with each and every single dua that we make. And the reason why we emphasize this is because at the beginning of our lessons of the purification of the souls, we said that we didn't really want to be too detailed and too technical, but we wanted to make our lessons that which will affect our hearts, that which will purify our souls. So this making dua isn't too technical. And the thing is that we have to have our heart into our dua and to be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer it. And we take of the sunnah that which is easy for us to make our dua. The next etiquette that we like to mention is that we should be in a state of wudu, if possible, to make dua. That we should be in a state of wudu to make dua, as narrated on Abi Musa radiallahu anhu. He said, da'a an-nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima'in fatawadda'a bihi thumma rafa'a yadayhi faqal Allahumma ighfir li'ubayd abi amir wa ra'aytu bayad ibtayhi faqal Allahumma ij'alhu yawm al-qiyamati fawqa kathirin mimman khalaqaka أو فوق كثير من خلقك من الناس فقلت ولي فاستغفر فقال اللهم اغفر لعبد الله بن قيس ذنبه وأدخله يوم القيامة مدخلا كريما. And this hadith is in Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Abu Musa رضي الله عنه said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked for some water. And when he got that water, he made wudu with it. Then he raised his hands and he said, O Allah, forgive Ubayd Abi Amir. And then he said, I saw the whiteness of the armpits of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khairan sa'ala. He went on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, O Allah, make him above many of the people that you have created on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he said, and what about me? Seek forgiveness for me, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, forgive Abdullah ibn Qais all of his sins and enter him with a generous entering on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make dua for some of his companions, and he asked for water and he made wudu, he raised his hands and then he made dua. So among the etiquettes of dua is that we make wudu and then we can make our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we see that some of those companions, they were very anxious, or they were very eager to have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua for him. And who would be more happier than the person having the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua for him? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah to forgive him of his sins and to enter him with a noble or a generous entering on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And when a brother asks us to make dua for him, then we should know that the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua for his companions, and we can use the same manner when we make dua for our brothers. Ya Akhi, make dua for me. Oh Allah, forgive him of his sins and make him have a noble entering into Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So here we have the etiquette of making wudu before we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in this, which is our next point, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands when he made dua. And among the etiquettes of dua is raising the hands. Among the etiquettes of dua is raising our hands. As was mentioned in this hadith, and in these hadith which we like to mention, to show exactly how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to raise our hands,
when we make dua. The Prophet, or Anas radiallahu anhu, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rafa'a yadayhi hatta ra'aytu bayad ibtayhi. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Anas said that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raising his hands to make dua, and he saw the whiteness of his armpit. So this shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his hand when he made dua, just like we saw in the previous hadith. Yarhamukallah. And that this is among the etiquettes of dua for the people who may think that raising our hands is not from among the etiquettes of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in the hadith collected by Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُرُدَّهُمَا صَفْرًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed your Lord, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, and تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى are two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which mean the blessed and the exalted, or the most high. Indeed your Lord, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, is حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Hayyun Kareem, that Allah is the living and the generous. And in some narrations we'll see he has Hayyun, or the shameful, or the modest, or something like that. And he is ashamed that when one of his servants raises his hand to him, to leave his hands empty-handed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels ashamed that when one of his servants raises his hands to him, asking him for something, to turn his two hands down empty-handed. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic narration, in Al-Hakim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَحِيمٌ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ إِلَيْهِ يَدَيْهِ ثُمَّ لَا يَضْعُ فِيهِمَا خَيْرًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in these great hadith, and all of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are great, that indeed Allah is Rahim, Hayyun, Kareem. That Allah is Rahim, or the merciful, Hayyun, or modest, or shy, or shameful, Kareem, the generous, or the noble. And he is ashamed that when one of his servants raises his hands up, not to put any good in those hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels shy or ashamed not to put some good in the hands of his servants when they raise their hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking Allah for something. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that among the finest etiquettes of the dua is to raise our hands, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem, or the generous, and he's ashamed that some of his servants will raise their hands up to him asking him for something and not to put any good in those hands. So among the good etiquettes of dua is raising our hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to show us how to raise our hands. We know that in general we see that in dua people usually do this as before, or people do this as we see nowadays, or like this. And maybe some of the brothers will tell their wives what they saw when we were raising our hands, showing them the way that we raised our hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with the finest guidance, taught us exactly how to raise our hands in dua. And it is simple, and it's not difficult for any one of us to learn how to raise our hands to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى رَحِيمٌ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood, الْمَسْأَلَةُ أَن تَرْفَعَ يَدَيْكَ حَذْوَ مَنْكَبَيْكَ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ أَن تُشِيرَ بِأُصْبُعٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَالْإِبْتِهَالُ تُمَدَّ يَدَيْكَ جَمِيعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the issue of dua or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to raise your hands up to your shoulders. Is to raise your hands up to your shoulders or to equal to your shoulders. And to seek forgiveness is to motion or to point with one finger. To seek forgiveness is to motion or point with one finger. And when you really want to get into dua, and I don't know any way better to translate this, but when you really, really into it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should extend your hands all the way out. You should extend your hands all the way out and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the good of this world and the good of the hereafter and to save us from the hellfire. So here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first showing us from his sunnah that among the etiquettes of dua is to raise our hands. And then he encouraged us sallallahu alaihi wasallam to raise our hands when we make dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels shy and ashamed not to put some good in the hands of the one who raises those hands to Allah asking him for something. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us here that when we're just making a regular dua, that we should raise our hands up to our shoulder length. And if we want to seek forgiveness, then we point with one finger. And then when we're really into it, when we're throwing up those serious dua, then we stretch our hands all the way up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we stretch those hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to stretch them up to Allah with our palms facing up and not facing downward. Our palms facing up and not towards the ground. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ بِبُطُونِ أَكَفِّكُمْ وَلَا تَسْأَلُوهُ بِظُهُورِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you ask Allah in dua, then ask Allah with your palms facing up, and don't ask Allah with your palms facing this way, facing downward. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that when we make dua, to have our palms faced up, and the other ways that he's taught us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I gotta say this little story, that Allah feels ashamed to put some good in the hands of his servants when they raise their hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day when I was in Medina, I was in the Prophet's Masjid for Salatul Fajr. I was trying to take advantage of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that whoever makes Salatul Fajr in the Masjid and stays in the Masjid remembering Allah until the sun rises, and then after the sun rises make two rak'ahs, that he gets the reward of Hajj and Umrah in their entire reward. That whoever makes Fajr in the Masjid and stays in the Masjid remembering Allah till the sun rises, and then after the sun rises, make two rak'ahs, then he gets the reward of Hajj and Umrah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about Hajj, لَيْسَ لُهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ, that there is no reward for the Hajj except Jannah. No reward for the Hajj except Jannah. At any rate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed me to try to take advantage of this hadith that day. And after I had made my two rak'ahs, I was on my way home. I was crossing across the Rawda, the garden among the gardens of Jannah, which is in between the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his house and his masjid. I saw a lot of the old men. They used to be there constantly, day and night, raising their hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah to give them the good in this world and the good in the hereafter and to save them from the hellfire. And one of my friends, his father was very rich. He used to go to the masjid also for Fajr, to the Prophet's masjid, to give out 50 riyals to each person who had his hands raised up asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, people say that you don't raise your hands up to Allah thinking that something's going to drop out of the sky in your hands. Well, these men that were making dua, 50 riyals was dropping in everybody's hands. Tafaddal, 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 dropping $50 riyals in their hands while they were raising their hands up, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just wanted to relate that story as an example, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that he won't, that he feels ashamed, that when somebody raises his hands up to him, not to put any good in it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really hayyun kareem, ashamed and generous, not to put some good in those hands. So this should encourage us that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking advantage of this etiquette, because we don't know what might fall in our hands. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the good and the rich of this world to fall into our hands. Among the etiquettes that we like to take, and it's a long hadith, it's about crying when we make our dua. I didn't want to read all of this Arabic because the hadith is long, but I have to read it anyway, and I have the translation of Sahih Muslim, so that I can feel comfortable about his translation, inshallah. This hadith is on Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تلا قول الله عز وجل في إبراهيم. And this is in Surah Ibrahim. I need to take that mushaf to read this ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading this verse in Surah Ibrahim, and the verse number is 36. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this verse, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the statement of Isa, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 118. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this verse, إِن تُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And then the hadith goes on, فَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي وَبَكَى. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا جِبْرِيلُ اِذْهَبْ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ فَسَلْهُ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. فأتاه جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام فسأله فأخبره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما قال وهو أعلم. فأخبره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما قال وهو أعلم. فقال الله يا جبريل اذهب إلى محمد فقل إنا سنرضيك في أمتك ولا نسوءك. And this hadith was collected by Imam Muslim, as we said. In this hadith, and we're taking the translation of the Sahih Muslim, the translation of Abdul Hamid Siddiqui, it goes like this. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu reported that verily the apostle or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the words of Allah Azza wa Jal that Ibrahim uttered, and this is the ayah. My Lord, they have led many of mankind astray, but whosoever follows me, verily he is of me. And Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to the worship of the idols, that many of the idols have led many people astray, but whoever so follows me, then verily he is of me. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted the statement of Jesus or Isa, which is in the Quran, if you punish them, then they are your slaves, and if you forgive them, then verily you are the mighty, the wise. The hadith goes on that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he raised his hands and said, O Lord, my ummah, my nation, and then he began crying. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, O Jibreel, go to Muhammad, and your Lord, knows fully well, and ask him, what makes you cry? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed Jibreel what he has said, and Allah knows best. Upon this, Allah says, O Jibreel, go to Muhammad and say, verily we will please you with regards to your ummah, and we will not displease you. Verily we will please you concerning your ummah. Of the prophets before him, he was worried about his ummah, so worried that he began crying. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel to tell the prophet that we will please you concerning your ummah, and inshaAllah ta'ala Allah will please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by making his ummah the biggest ummah on yawm al-qiyamah. So here we see that it is encouraged, or among the etiquette of making dua, is to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next etiquette that we wanted to take is, and this is a very important etiquette, because many of the times we hear everyone say, make dua for me, akhi. You're going to Hajj, don't forget me. You're going to make dua, don't forget me in your dua, don't forget me in your dua. Well, among the etiquettes of dua is that before you make dua for anybody, make dua for yourself first. وَأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا ذَكَرَ أَحَدًا فَدَعَى لَهُ بَدَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he ever remembered anyone and he wanted to make dua for him, then he would begin with himself first. So we should take advantage of this dua, this etiquette of dua, that whenever someone asks us to make dua for him, that we make dua for ourselves. That we make dua for ourselves first, and then we can make dua for anyone else. And also I remember reading some of the guidance of the people who preceded us in Iman, from among the Salaf al-Saleh, from the righteous predecessors, that at times when people would ask them to make dua, akhi, make dua for me, they would say, make dua for yourself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the person that asks his dua, that asks his Allah. And who can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you want better than you yourself? So we should be very mindful that when we make dua, that we should begin with ourselves and not to just let everyone else make dua for us, because no one's going to make that dua for us like we can make for ourselves. And this is among the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he taught us to make dua for ourselves first. Among the other etiquettes of dua is that we make a comprehensive dua, that our dua is very general and broad, like the dua that we made earlier, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, oh our Lord, give us a good in this world, and give us a good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. This is a comprehensive dua. If we're having a problem, we need a certain certificate in order to get a promotion on our job, then if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good in this world, and we needed such and such in order to get such and such, then that's from among the good in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give it to us. So we don't have to be too detailed in making our dua, but we should be mindful to make a very general and comprehensive dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يستحب الجوامع من الدعاء ويدعى ما سوى ذلك. And I might be pronouncing this word wrong. At any rate, the English meaning is that Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love the comprehensive general dua, and that he would leave everything else alone. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love the comprehensive dua, and he used to leave everything else alone. And if we look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that his dua is very comprehensive and very general. That it encompasses and it covers everything that we could imagine of the bounties
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give us in this world or what He could give us in the hereafter. So we should be very mindful to take advantage of this etiquette, that our dua should be very general. So today we began with wudu being among the etiquettes, and raising our hands and making dua, and that is to raise them up to our shoulders in general. And if we have a serious dua, to outstretch our hands and to point with one finger when we're seeking forgiveness, and to have our palms face upward and not downward. And that among the etiquettes of dua is to cry, and that among the etiquettes of dua is to begin with ourselves first, and then to make the dua a comprehensive or general dua. Then we have among the etiquettes of dua, we have the saying of Ameen after the dua that we make. The saying of Ameen after the dua that we make. And here we have a long hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very long hadith. We'll take some of it, and inshallah ta'ala, if Allah blesses us and makes the brothers considerate to our situation, that we can have more time for ourselves, that I can finish this thesis that I have composed on dua. And you see me that I've been taking from many books to prepare for this etiquette of dua, and the don'ts of dua, and the bid'ah of dua, and the times that we should take advantage when the dua is most answered, that it was a short thesis that I compiled. And in it, I'll have the whole translation of this hadith, but for the sake of the class, we'll just take some of it. And we'll see how comprehensive the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. As he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mas'ala, wa khayra al-du'a, wa khayra al-najah, wa khayra al-amal, wa khayra al-thawab, wa khayra al-haya, wa khayra al-mamat, wa thabbitni, wa thaqqil mawazini, wa haqqiq imani, wa arfa' darajati, wa taqabbal salati, wa aghfir khati'ati, wa as'aluka al-darajati al-ul... وَأَسْأَلُكَ الدَّرَجَةِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ آمين. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to the end of the dua, saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, which is narrated by Al-Hakim, he said, O Allah, I ask you of the best thing that I can ask you for. And I ask you for the best dua. And I ask you for the greatest success or the best success. And I ask you for the best actions. And I ask you for the best reward. And I ask you for the best life. And I ask you for the best death. O Allah, make me firm. Make my scales heavy. Make my iman for real. My faith true and sincere. Raise me in levels. Accept from me my salah. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask you for a highest level in Jannah. Ameen. We ask this dua for ourselves and we say Ameen. But we see the comprehensiveness of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his dua is very, very comprehensive. And you can see that the good that he's asking, so much good that I just want to add on a little more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask, Allahumma inni as'aluka fawatihal khayri wa khawatimahu wa jawami'ahu wa awwalahu wa akhirahu wa zahirahu wa batinahu wa darajatil ula minal jannah. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, used to ask, O Allah, I ask you for the keys of good. I ask you for the opening, the openings of good, and the end of good, and the comprehensiveness of good. The first of it, the first of good, the last of the good, the apparent of the good, the hidden of the good, and I ask you for the highest station in Jannah. Ameen. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on in this hadith asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma ata wa khayra ma a'milu wa khayra ma af'alu وخير ما أبطنوا وخير ما أظهروا والدرجة العلى من الجنة آمين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah, O Allah, I ask you for the good of what's coming, and I ask you for the good of what I do, and for the good of what I do. I don't know how to translate both of these. The good of my deeds, and then for the good of what I do, and for the good of what is hidden, and for the good of what is apparent, and I ask you for the highest level in Jannah. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on and asked Allah, as he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka an tarfa'a dhikri, an turfa'a dhikri, wa tad'a wizri, wa tusliha amri, wa tutahhira qalbi, wa tuhassina farji, wa tunawwira qalbi, wa taghfira dhanbi, wa as'aluka ad-darajata al-ula min al-jannati. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah, O Allah, I ask you to raise my remembrance. To raise my remembrance. Meaning to make the people remember me. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَ, that we have raised your remembrance. That the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is probably the most mentioned name in the world. That how often in just our class do we say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that maybe this name, that this man, the last prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his remembrance is raised as he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise his remembrance. And Allah did as he told us in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, and remove from me my burden, and make my deeds corrected, and purify my heart, and make my private parts chaste, and make my heart have light, and forgive me of my sins, and give me the highest place in Jannah. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to ask, Allahumma inni as'aluka an tubaraka li fi nafsi, wa fi sam'i, wa fi basari, wa fi ruhi, wa fi khalqi, wa fi khuluqi, wa fi ahli, wa fi mahyaya, وفي مماتي وفي عملي وتقبل حسناتي وأسألك الدرجة العلى من الجنة آمين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to ask at the end of this long dua, this long comprehensive dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, I ask you to bless me in myself, in my hearing, in my sight, in my soul, in my creation, in my character, in my family, in my life, in my death, in all of my actions, and I ask you to accept the good that I do, and I ask you for the highest level in Jannah. Ameen. This is one of the greatest du'as that anyone could ever make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we take from it the etiquette where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Ameen, at the end of his du'a, Ameen at the end of his dua. And the word Ameen means, O Allah, answer my dua. O Allah, answer my dua. So that is what Ameen means, and it's among the etiquettes of dua, and it means to answer my dua. Among the etiquettes of dua that we have is to make a lot of dua, to make a whole lot of dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us, as he says, إِذَا سَأَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُكْثِرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ. And this is in Sahih ibn Hibban. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if any one of you asks, meaning asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, then make a lot of it, because he's only asking his Lord. He's only asking his Lord. As we began with the first etiquette of dua, that we only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, make dua to me and I will answer it. So we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and He told us that He will answer our dua. We should make a lot of dua. We should make a lot of dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, if any one of you asks, then I command him to ask Allah, because he's only asking his Lord. Because he's only asking his Lord. Among the other etiquettes of dua, or the last etiquette that we have, and inshallah ta'ala, this is among the etiquettes of dua in general, and it's on the authority of Abdullah ibn Zayd. قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى هذا المصلى يستسقي فدعا واستسقى ثم استقبل القبلة وقلب رداءه. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to this masjid, as reported by Abdullah ibn Zayd, to make the salah for rain. When he made his dua, he turned around and faced the Qibla, and then he turned around his rida. And for the people who made Hajj, they know that it's that top piece that you wear over your body like a towel, that he turned it around and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is among the etiquettes of dua, is that we face the Qibla and that we make dua. And this is what many of the ulama, they put in their books. Among the etiquettes of dua is to face the Qibla. And they're using this etiquette to be a general etiquette. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Though we see that here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is specifically in the Salatul Istisqa, or the Salat and the dua where he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. That he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain, that in this salah and dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to turn his rida, or his top piece of clothing, around to the other side, and he used to face the Qibla, and he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. And that many of us have heard, when we were coming up, that the Indians used to do a rain dance, to ask for rain. And I don't know who they used to call on when they used to ask for rain, but we shouldn't think that it's something strange from Islam to make the salah and ask dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us rain. And that this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's not something that the Indians, the American Indians did only, but it's something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 14 centuries ago taught us, that when the Muslims are in need of rain, that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this rain, and what is known as Salatul Istisqa. So these are the etiquettes that I have collected and like to share with you from among the etiquettes of dua. And they are, and we'll go back from the beginning on down, listing them. To make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. To be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our dua. To be sincere in making our dua, to be determined and serious about making dua, to make dua at all times, not being loud in making our dua, but being somewhat silent or quiet in our dua, making dua with the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kareem, Al-Wadud, recognizing or acknowledging our sins, and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us when we make our dua, being humble and having a strong desire for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us, and fearing our Lord, making dua by means of our righteous deeds, to begin with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that which He is worthy of praise, and then sending salat and salams on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and salat and salams is the praising and the peace and the blessing on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then having a wudu, raising our hands in general, raising them to the shoulder length, outstretched fully, having our palms facing upward and not downward, and pointing with one finger if we're seeking forgiveness. to cry when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to weep to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the presence of our heart, because of the presence of our heart to our Lord when we making our dua. To begin with oneself first before we make dua for anyone else, to make our dua a comprehensive dua, and to make our and to say Ameen at the end of our dua, and to make a whole lot of dua, and to face the Qibla when we make our dua. These are among the etiquettes that we have found in the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kareem, Al-Ghafoor, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, to allow us to be able to practice that which we have heard from among the etiquettes of dua. With that, we like to go on to some of the don'ts of dua, some of the things that we should not do when we're making dua, some of the things we should be mindful to stay away from when we're making dua. And among those things is that we shouldn't make dua to Allah against ourselves or against our family or against our money. And this always troubled me, because who in his right mind would make a dua against himself or against his family or against his money? But until you live with the Arabs, you realize that people make dua against themselves. And it was amazing to hear that people, seemingly in their right mind, would say, "Oh Allah, destroy me. Oh Allah, demolish my house and my family. Oh Allah, allow me to lose all of my weight, all of my wealth." When they get mad, they say anything. We're not saying this to say that the Arabs are any less than anybody else, because they do this. I was just surprised that people could do this. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most noble or the most honored among you in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa, the most God-fearing, the one who obeys Allah the most and stays away from His prohibitions. These are the people who are most noble and honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not that he's an Arab or a non-Arab, black or white, African-American or Chinese or what have you. But we've heard many times, and unfortunately nowadays, because of the farness of the Muslims from their deen, that you see some of the children, they greet one another, "Salamu alaykum, may Allah destroy your house. Salamu alaykum, may the curse of Allah be on your mother." You can't believe your ears. How in the world can people be saying this? The little children are saying stuff like this. "Oh Allah, make your school fail. The school that you go be a failure, not a success," after they greet their brothers. They say it while they're joking. But here we see that this deen of Islam is a complete deen, and that this deen of Islam is for all people, in all places, in all times. We might do things that other people don't do, just like other people might do things that we might not do. But that this religion of Islam, this guidance, this true, real guidance, the straight path, is guidance for all of humanity. So whether you do something or you don't do something, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His creation, and He knows that there might be a people that do something, and He sent down the guidance for all people. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, "La tad'u ala anfusikum, wa la tad'u ala awladikum, wa la tad'u ala amwalikum, la tuwafiqu min Allahi sa'atan, yus'alu fiha ata'un, فَيُسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't make dua against yourselves, don't make dua against your children, don't make dua against your wealth, because you don't know that you may be asking Allah for something at a time where Allah will answer that. Some little boys playing around talking about
Salaamu alaykum, may the curse of Allah be on your father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may answer that dua. It might be at one of the times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that dua, making the curse of Allah be on his brother's father. Subhanallah al-Azim. So we have to be mindful not to make dua against ourselves or against our families or against our wealth because of anger. And usually, maybe this will come out of anger or ignorance. However it comes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that this is one of the don'ts. Don't do this when you make your dua. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us not to ask for death. And we can all imagine this. You may be so sick, you can't hang on anymore. Oh Allah, take me right now. I can't deal with it. I'm finished. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us not to ask for death. As he says in Sahih Muslim, لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت ولا يدعو به قبل أن يأتيه إنه إذا مات أحدكم انقطع عمله وإنه لا يزيد المؤمن عمره وإنه لا يزيد المؤمن عمره إلا خيرا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, that none of you should ask Allah for death. None of you should ask Allah for death. And he went on to emphasize the point, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't make dua to Allah for this before it's time. And no one knows this time of death. So don't make dua for death, because no one knows the time of death. He went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when you die, your deeds are cut off, your actions are cut off. And who among us is so purified, so sanctified, so righteous, got his acts so together that he don't need another minute, another hour, another day, another week, another month, another year to do some more good deeds, so that when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can meet Allah with his scales being heavy and not being light. I think that every one of us needs more time to try to get his program together, needs more time to try to do good deeds, needs more time to increase that faith, so that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can meet Allah with heavy scales. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in life and allow us to practice the good of that increase that he increases us in our lives, so that we can meet him on the day of judgment with heavy scales. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration of this hadith, rather, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration, لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر نزل به فإن كان لا بد متمنيا للموت فليقل اللهم أحيني ما كانت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني إذا كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, he emphasizes the point, as he says in an even stronger way, that no one should ask for death because of some harm that has befallen him, whichever one is proper. That if something bad befalls him, that he shouldn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for death. And that saying, what we said in the first part, among the don'ts of dua, is not to ask Allah for death. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that if anyone has to ask for death, then let him say, Oh Allah, give me life, so long as life is good for me, and take my soul, so long as taking my soul is good for me. So we feel that we can't handle it anymore, And that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give us long life, we would continue in that riba. We would continue in riba. Then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us. If something befalls us, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us. Oh Allah, I just can't shake that sin. I can't shake it, take me. If death is better for you, then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if something difficult befalls you to take you. But if life is going to be good for you, then you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in life if it's going to be good for you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in life and to make it good for us. Among the other don'ts of dua is not to be too hasty.